A woman sits in therapy, alternating between three distinct personalities within minutes. First, she's prim and moralistic, wagging her finger with righteous certainty. Then she shifts. Her voice becomes measured, her questions analytical. Moments later, she's whining like a child, wringing her hands in distress. She's not suffering from multiple personality disorder. She's simply human, demonstrating what psychiatrist Eric Byrne discovered in the 1950s. We all contain three distinct psychological systems that shape every interaction, relationship, and life decision we make. This revelation, published in Transactional Analysis and Psychotherapy in 1961, would transform how millions understand themselves and their relationships. What makes Byrne's framework so powerful? It takes the invisible forces that drive human behavior and makes them startlingly visible, offering not just insight, but immediate practical tools for change. Ever catch yourself using absolutes like always or never during arguments? That's your parent ego state, internalized voices of childhood authority figures manifesting through finger wagging, moralistic tones, and rigid posture. It contains both nurturing elements, comfort, protection, and critical aspects, rules, judgments. When you calmly analyze problems, weighing evidence and probabilities, your adult ego state operates, your data processing center, running on facts rather than feelings, speaking in measured tones and making evidence-based decisions. That spontaneous joy, creative burst, or unexpected tantrum? Your child ego state, a complete psychological system preserving early experiences, holding your capacity for wonder and playfulness, but also vulnerabilities, fears, and learned manipulations. Byrne's revolution proved these states are neurologically real. Neurosurgeon Wilder Penfield discovered that electrical brain stimulation caused patients to fully relive past experiences, not just remember them, but re-experience the original emotions. Your ego states are physiologically preserved, complete systems that activate under specific conditions. Every conversation operates on two levels: the words spoken and which ego state is addressing which. "You're late again" can be an adult observation, a parent judgment, or a child complaint. The response hinges on which transaction the listener perceives. Complementary transactions flow smoothly because the vectors align. A doctor asks, "What brings you here?" adult to adult, and receives a factual response. A mother comforts a crying child, parent to child, who accepts comfort. Both parties agree on which ego states are engaged. Cross-transactions derail everything. One of Byrne's patients asked a factual question, adult to adult, but received tears, child response. The listener perceived criticism where none existed. This explains countless arguments. One person attempts adult discussion, while the other responds from wounded child. Most complex are ulterior transactions, where surface communication masks hidden agendas. A patient complained, "If it weren't for my husband, I could travel and enjoy life." Surface level, adult statement. Hidden transaction, her child speaking to an imagined parent. "See how you make me suffer," absolving herself of responsibility. Such multi-level communications form the foundation of psychological games. Why do some reject every solution? Why do couples fight when intimacy threatens? They're playing games, not conscious manipulation, but unconscious patterns learned in childhood that structure social time while providing psychological payoffs. Consider, why don't you, yes, but? Someone presents a problem while systematically rejecting every solution. The ostensible purpose is seeking help, but the ulterior motive is demonstrating that no one can solve their unique predicament. Mrs. Tredick played this brilliantly, genuinely believing she wanted solutions, while her child ego state ensured she remained the center of attention without having to change. Uproar players create dramatic conflicts that prevent genuine intimacy. Mrs. Anatosky and her husband perfected this. Whenever sexual closeness threatened, one would provoke the other until conflict erupted, protecting both from vulnerability. Wooden leg provides an excuse for inadequacy. What do you expect from someone with my background? One patient consistently used her alcoholic past this way until therapy helped her recognize the pattern, which offered immediate benefits, avoiding responsibility and eliciting sympathy, while preventing authentic growth. Games differ from simple diversions by their repetitive nature, hidden agendas, and negative payoffs. Burns' breakthrough was recognizing that games could be disrupted once made conscious. Patients didn't need years of analysis, but rather clear recognition of their patterns. Beyond individual games lies the life script, an unconscious life plan formed in childhood that shapes your destiny. This explains why people repeatedly create similar situations despite conscious efforts to change. The woman who serially marries alcoholics isn't unlucky. She's unconsciously casting partners for a drama written decades earlier. Scripts originate from childhood protocols, primal scenes, establishing core beliefs. Mrs. Catters exemplified this perfectly. As a child, she fantasized about her father dying after feeling displaced by her brother's birth. In adulthood, she married a philandering pilot and fantasized about his plane crashing, making her a tragic widow, essentially recasting her childhood drama with new actors. She wasn't consciously choosing this pattern. She felt compelled to complete it. Scripts contain specific roles: protagonist, antagonist, victims, rescuers, and follow dramatic structures. They can be tragic, ending in defeat, banal, maintaining status quo, or constructive, leading to fulfillment. They operate outside awareness. We don't consciously choose our scripts, but feel driven to complete them. The therapeutic goal isn't script abandonment, but script awareness. When Mrs. Catters recognized her pattern, she gained freedom to modify it. Her adult could intervene when her child began orchestrating familiar scenarios, allowing her to write new chapters rather than repeating the same story. Burns' framework maps ego state transactions between people, revealing relationship dynamics. Analyzing Mr. Kins and Miss Olive, he identified 9 possible vectors between their ego states. Only one functioned smoothly, his parent to her child, explaining their compelling yet unsatisfying connection. Mrs. Catters and Mrs. Beth had 7 compatible vectors, predicting their friendship's stability. Some couples remain together despite constant conflict because their games and scripts complement perfectly. The Penties exemplified this. His fear of blushing and her domineering personality created stability where she controlled social situations while he avoided them. Their game of "if it weren't for you" provided mutual benefits. He blamed her for his limitations while she maintained control, each fulfilling deep psychological needs despite complaints. Marriage reveals script dynamics through 3 layers: the formal contract, legal marriage, the relationship contract, who plays parent/child roles, and the secret contract between child ego states, the unconscious script agreement. Couples select partners based on script requirements, seeking someone who will play the complementary role in their psychological drama. Therapeutic success means changing transactions through conscious awareness rather than changing partners. By recognizing their games and scripts, couples can develop adult-to-adult communication, achieving outcomes from better controlled turbulence to genuine rediscovery. Byrne recognized that everyone possesses a functioning adult capable of growth. The child isn't something to overcome. It's a source of vitality and creativity. The parent contains wisdom worth preserving. The key is conscious integration rather than unconscious domination by any single state. These insights transform everyday interactions. Parents can address their children's adult capabilities, fostering independence. Managers shift from triggering employees' child responses through parental criticism to adult communication. Couples identify recurring games and develop healthier alternatives through direct communication. The ultimate gift is genuine autonomy, the ability to write your own story rather than repeating childhood scripts. We are not prisoners of our past, but conscious authors of our present and future. Your parent, adult, and child aren't enemies, but potential allies. The question isn't which ego state to eliminate, but how to conduct them as a harmonious whole. To know yourself completely is to finally become free.